This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. Iran erupts. The revolution on the brink.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It has turned a wealthy country with a rich history and culture into an economically depleted rogue state whose chief exports are violence, bloodshed, and chaos. The longest suffering victims of Iran's leaders are, in fact, its own people.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Our UN team has exclusively obtained an internal memo of the Iranian government meeting claiming that the government there believes that the unrest has hurt every sector of the country's economy and threatens the regime's security.
Brave Iranians are pouring into the streets. They seek freedom. They seek justice. They seek the basic liberties that have been denied to them for decades. Iran's cruel regime wastes tens of billions of dollars spreading hate. This money could have built schools and hospitals. No wonder mothers and fathers are marching in the streets.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, the new year starts off very busy, and that is there is an eruption in the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is developed over the last several days. However, in the last 48 hours, it has intensified to now multiple cities. It began with just a few hundred protesters really protesting some of the economic issues, but it quickly turned into dozens of cities, tens of thousands. There are not exact quotes coming out with the number of people involved. In other words, where you had at Tahrir Square, in Tehran, you knew there were a million people. You don't have that here. You have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands throughout the city, and it's growing. That was called the Green Protest before. But what is very interesting here is what the protesters are saying. They are saying death to the dictator, that's the Ayatollah, death to Rouhani, that is the president, forget Palestine, not Gaza, not Lebanon, my life for Iran. And the leader lives like God while we the people live like beggars. So this is what's coming out very strongly from the protesters. There's also been reports of no to Hezbollah, because what has happened here is that millions, I would say billions of dollars of the Iranian people's money has been used on a foreign policy by the Islamic Republic of Iran to spread terrorism. And that's coming out of the mouths of the children, the mouths of the people that are suffering the consequences of this. And this is especially even with the Obama administration, Andy, giving $1.5 billion in aid as part of the Iran deal. The end result is none of that, of course, helped the people of Iran. And we now have a mass protest going on that may well topple the regime, which would be incredibly great.
It would be great, and the president has said that, and the president has encouraged that, and the president is speaking out on that, and that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear silence, and we don't want to hear $1.5 billion being given to Iran so that it can back Hezbollah and not, and deprive its people. What we have here, Jay, is a protest that is organic in nature, grassroots, the poorer parts of the country. The slogans targeting inflation, corruption, Iran's involvement in Lebanon and Syria, backing Hezbollah, more money for the clerics, more money for food prices, cuts in cash subsidies to the poor, an increase in the price of food. These are the kinds of things that topple regimes.
When I come back from the break, I'm going to talk about a report that was leaked out of a meeting between the Ayatollah and the political leaders of Iran. Let's go to Than Bennett quickly here. We're coming up on a break. Than, what is the reaction in Washington right now as this is really unfolding on our screens right this moment?
Well, just to tease about that report, Jay, it calls it a very complex situation, different from previous situations. The reaction in Washington, you know why it's complex? You know why it's different? It's different because of the strength of the United States and the fact that there would be punitive ramifications if the Iranian regime continues to go this way.
You're 100% correct. The mistake of the Obama administration was when a million people were on the streets of Tehran, our government basically told them, stand down. That's what the United States said. Why? Because we now know that President Obama was already negotiating the Iran deal. We're going to come back and take your calls and comments on this. We've got a lot more analysis.
Phone lines are open right now. A few lines still open as we speak. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on social media. Find us broadcasting on Facebook, Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, during the break, we were talking, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to what is now a revolution inside the Iranian revolution. The Iranian revolution, by the way, is what brought the Ayatollahs back to power from the Shah of Iran. This was the fallacy of the Jimmy Carter administration. You now have a movement larger in far as territorial approach than the Green Movement of 2009. That was the Green protests. This is now a movement that is going across the country and around to port cities, to major cities, now in Tehran as well. And the focus of it is the Ayatollahs and the political leaders. And this is a mass protest. The president has encouraged freedom and human rights and protection. The Obama administration wanted the people to stand down when a million people were in Tehran. Up on the screen right now for Facebook and Periscope and for our television audience is where the protests are taking place. So you see, this is really throughout the country right now. Also, let me say this. The focus of this is very important. The way they do these protests in the Middle East is they get these massive people together and they come up with thematics. That's the approach. It fits in also with the language, which is Farsi here. And it is death to the dictator. Remember, it's always death to America, death to Israel. And they're saying the exact opposite. They're saying death to the dictator. The death to the dictator is the Ayatollah. Death to Rouhani, the president. Forget Palestine, not Gaza, not Lebanon, my life for Iran. And there was a meeting, and Fox News got a hold of this, between the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and the political leaders. The meeting notes, which have been translated into English from Farsi, say this: unrest has hurt every sector of the country's economy and, quote, threatens the regime's security. The first step, therefore, is to find a way out of the situation. The report added religious leaders and the leadership must come to the scene as soon as possible and prevent the situation from deteriorating further. It continued, God help us, this is a very complex situation and is different from previous occasions. The president has tweeted out the following: many reports of peaceful protests by Iranian citizens fed up with the regime's corruption and its squandering of the nation's wealth to fund terrorism abroad. Iranian government should respect their people's rights, including the right to express himself. The world is watching. Hashtag Iran protest. The focus of this, Andy, is on the foreign policy, which is draining billions of dollars from the Iranian people, and their support of Hezbollah. That is the focus of this.
That's right. Hezbollah is, of course, the terrorist organization that is an army, that is a state in and of itself, that is supported by Iran, that we were targeting in Project Cassandra under President Obama. That was stopped.
Right.
In order to get the Iranian nuclear deal done, what did he do? He targeted his own Project Cassandra, which was after Hezbollah, and made sure that that was stopped in its tracks. He stripped it of its power, its authority, and he gave $1.5 billion to the Iranian government. And what has the Iranian government done? Deprived its people.
And Senator Graham has said, and let's see if we can get the sound on this, that mass protests in Iran show the president's failed policies. There seems to be bipartisan support for the problem, that supporting the protesters, taking out the President Obama segment, but talking about these protesters, there seems to be bipartisan support on this.
There is bipartisan support, and I think there's also a bipartisan agreement, Jay, that the reason that that language in that report said very complex situation and different from previous situations is because of the stronger posture of the United States, both implementing new sanctions and also considering removing some of the waivers that existed. Jay, I would tell you this. On the Hill, I think people are convinced there would have been slaughter in the streets at the hand of the regime if it were not for the stronger presence of the United States. In previous protests, that's what we've seen. The regime have put down these protests. Why haven't they done it in this case? Is because the United States is standing stronger, and they believe that there would be consequences if they did so.
This is a unique moment in history.
Yeah, it feels very much like a ripple effect that's happened. Yes. It's almost like started in the Western world, where you could say in the less intense version of it with your Brexit, and then you're moving to Trump presidency, and then you start moving to the West, or you start moving to the Middle East, and you have the Jerusalem situation, and then now you have the Iran revolution. These are not disconnected.
No.
These are things that are very much, you're seeing now change in everyone. Because if you look at it, obviously, the regime change will be a gigantic thing for these people. The talking points aren't unsimilar to what we've heard in the West. Just remove a lot of the violence from it. So I think that's pretty interesting to see that maybe they're taking some cues from what's happening around the world.
Well, they see a president that would support their protests in the street.
Yeah, I think people forget about that. About the difference between the people you're hearing in the Middle East and the people that maybe you see on the TV representing the Middle East are not necessarily the people. It's very similar to the way it is here. You know, not necessarily your major news sources are actually representative of the people. And, you know, that's where the sort of policies get out of hand. People are like, well, the people don't want that. Well, clearly they do.
No, they do.
They're out in the streets.
They're doing it for multiple reasons. But one thing they've recognized is that the regime spending billions of dollars of their money, the Iranian people's money, to do this is not good for them. So when they say things like death to the dictator, death to Rouhani, forget Palestine, not Gaza, not Lebanon, my life for Iran, no to Hezbollah, this is a phenomenal sea change of what's happening here.
Right.
Let me play for everybody kind of what the chants sound like, because this is the protest model that's being executed right now, utilized on the streets of Iran. So it's a thematic response is what they do. That is the method upon which they protest. And I think what's happened here, Andy, is the people of Iran are rising up in incredible numbers to speak out against a regime that is the largest state sponsor of terror. Folks, we started talking about this right before the protest started. We filed those FOIA requests last week on that Project Cassandra because we were concerned about why the president, President Obama, was so committed to this. Now we know why he also stood down to get the protesters to stand down in Tehran in 2009 when they would have tumbled during the Arab Spring. The Iranian Revolution, which was the Islamic Revolution, would have tumbled. So there's a lot at stake right now. I mean, a lot at stake.
Oh, there is a great deal at stake. I think when these regimes begin to crumble, Jay, they begin to crumble very quickly, as a matter of fact. As we saw during the fall of the Soviet regime, we saw this in Central Europe. When these start to crumble, they fall quickly. These are not things that take a long time to happen. If you look at the map that you just posted up that a lot of people who are watching us, I think that's very important for us to take a look at the breadth and the depth and the extent of the cities where the protests have occurred. This is not just occurring in Tehran. This is occurring from north to south to east to west throughout the country. These are organic grassroots movements of people who themselves are saying, give us food. Why are you giving more money to the priests, to the clerics? What about fuel prices? What about subsidies to the poor? The price of eggs, which is their staple, has gone up 40%. That's what the lower classes eat. The unemployment rate is now 29%.
While they're giving billions of dollars to Hezbollah and Hamas. They've got an administration in the United States. By the way, Boris Johnson, have we found that tweet from him? I want to get that up from the UK is also saying, hey, we're watching this very closely. Folks, pray for these protesters. They're young, a lot of them. They're tremendous risk. 20 have already been, 21 have been killed. And this regime will not hesitate to do that. Let me play for you what Senator Lindsey Graham said about this.
The Obama approach of relieving sanctions, hoping the regime would moderate, has failed. The people are not getting the benefit of sanctions relief. They're more upset with their oppressors than ever. The money from sanction relief has gone into rebuilding the Iranian military, and they're destabilizing the Mideast.
Here's what Boris Johnson from the UK said. The UK is watching events in Iran closely. We believe that there should be meaningful debate about the legitimate and important issues the protesters are raising, and we look to Iran authorities to permit this. What they're doing instead is killing people, the Iranian authorities. And then Boris Johnson also tweeted out, watching events in Iran with concern, vital that citizens should have the right to demonstrate peacefully. This is a universal right we recognize around the world. They are not allowing them to do this in Iran. Don't think the Iranians, even though Rouhani says, oh yeah, we allow protests. Then now here's the question. Can this be bipartisan in support of toppling this regime?
I really think it can, Jay. And part of the reason for that is exactly what Senator Graham just said. These protesters, Jay, are predominantly working class, and they have awakened to the reality of what I know you talked about last week, that their dollars, while they are starving and lacking in human rights, are being used to export terrorism. Jay, they're sick and tired of it. They want that money spent in country on their very real needs. And guess what? That's a message that both Republicans and Democrats will line up behind President Trump. He has the right sentiment here, but there are opportunities, and we can talk about these opportunities for both the president and Congress to actually take action to back up what the president has already led on.
You know, the president's supposed to certify, the White House is supposed to certify, I think it was on January 11th, whether Iran's in compliance with the nuclear deal. That's going to be fascinating. My inclination would be that they certainly are not. I understand there's a lot of political ramifications and all that. We'll see what develops there. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to be joined by our policy experts and some of our military analysts. We're taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also say thank you to those of you that supported the work for the ACLJ. We met our stretch goal for the year and for the month of December, and we couldn't have done that without you. So again, a huge thank you to all of you who are supporting the work of the ACLJ.
Exactly. Please give us a call right now if you want to comment. 1-800-684-3110. Let's get your comments in online.
I'm also, for those that call in, we're going to send you our book, Unholy Alliance, if you call in with a question or comment, which talks about Iran, Russia, and Syria.
If you make it on the air.
If you make it on the air, right. So again, 1-800-684-3110. Want to get that resource out. We're going to figure out how to get that movie out, too. We may run a special on that this week.
All right. We'll be right back. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to give us a phone call, or you can get your comments in online. We'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. So Ben Rhodes, Obama's former national security expert, and Susan Rice, national security advisor, claimed that President Trump's policies, Professor Hutchinson, are not the right ones, and what they should be doing was what President Obama did, when you had a million people in the street. He basically asked them to the citizens to stand down in their demonstration, but we now know he was negotiating the Iran nuclear deal.
Absolutely. So, Jay, it's important to recognize that President Obama engaged in a deceptive period of negotiations with the Iranian regime,
yep,
in order to advance the so-called nuclear deal.
Right.
The Obama administration engaged in video deletions in order to deceive the American people. Similarly, the Iranian regime deceived its own people, suggesting that the Iran nuclear deal would provide tremendous amounts of economic benefits. It turns out that both President Obama and the mullahs in Iran were both engaged in deception, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. The Iran nuclear deal is a flawed deal in terms of national security and in terms of world security. The Iran nuclear deal is not providing the economic benefits that were promised
to the Iranian people.
To the Iranian people. So Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes are not in any position,
yep,
to give President Trump any advice with respect to what he should do. He is standing up for both the Iranian people and for U.S. interest, and it is time to put U.S. interest first.
And let me tell you this, our allies in the region, not just Israel, who's already come out in support of the protesters, but others in the region, Arab leaders in the region, would like to see the fall of the Iranian regime. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, and then I've got a couple of questions I want to follow up and
all
a
right,
couple of comments
let's
I want to make.
Let's go to Dave in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave, welcome to the broadcast. Hey, you're
there
on the air.
Hey there. Yeah, guys, this is super exciting. I remember seeing pictures of a pre-Ayatollah Iran when, for yep, instance, the flight attendants looked like normal people.
It was very pro-Western.
Women in there.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you see, not only is this, I guess, the opposition, are they also throwing off the burqa, more or less?
Yeah, I think that's part of this. The question that, you know, when you say throwing off the burqa, in other words, the restrictions that the government places on women, women being educated, women driving, these kind of things. Now, they are... The Iranians for generations were very pro-Western, with very close relations with Israel, very close relationship with the United States. And then Jimmy Carter allowed the Ayatollahs to come back from whom to whom, which was their kind of their spiritual center. And that's where they're based. Now, they know they're in trouble right now. The question is, I'm going to go to Colonel Wes Smith on this, our senior military analyst, because normally we look at the situation, Wes, and you think of the military here as kind of the stabilizing force. Mm-hmm. The problem here is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are not a stabilizing force at all. In fact, they are the sponsors of terror and the trainers of terror, but they are a deadly force inside of Iran.
Absolutely. And they're a combination of both secret police and military force. And unlike the rest of the Iranian military, the Revolutionary Guard Corps, they do not answer to the president or to their parliament. They answer directly to the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the religious leader. He is considered the supreme leader in the land. It is a society that has been a very strict religious society, where things like public expression and public assembly, yep, have been very, very restricted. So the Revolutionary Guard Corps is not going to help the people in this revolution. NBC News this morning reported an Iranian who made a statement that translates into English this: the knife has hit the bone, and is used to describe demonstrators who feel like they have nothing left to lose. And dictatorships like Iran's, yep, they only work if the people are afraid of the state. If they're not afraid of the state, if there's nothing left to lose, you know, cataclysmic things can happen. But the Revolutionary Guard Corps, you're right, Jay, they are a malevolent influence in that society.
Andy, you mentioned earlier that we talked about this last, and we've been following this all weekend, folks, because obviously we're very involved in the region, and we've been following and working legally on the whole Iranian deal and the fallacy of that, which was basically propping the Iranian Ayatollahs up, but didn't prop them up long. But you made a statement earlier broadcasting, and I think it's important for our audience to hear this, and that is these things tend to cause the collapse of the regimes very, very quickly.
That's correct, Jay. What happens is a spark like this ignites, and this is ignited throughout the country. This is not an isolated series of protests in Tehran or in the second biggest city. This is based upon the map that we have shown, very widespread in the dimensions, and I think that's very important to note. This is not a small uprising. This is from city to city to city throughout the country, what people are basically asking for: food, clothing, shelter, protection against their right to protest their own individual civil liberties. Instead of Iran backing Hezbollah and terrorist organizations, instead of backing Lebanon and what's going on in Lebanon, in Gaza and so forth, they don't care about that. They care about what is happening in Iran, in my own country.
But listen to what they're protesting. Death to Khomeini, death to Rouhani, forget Palestine, not Gaza, not Lebanon, my life for Iran, leave Syria, think about us, and we do not want an Islamic Republic. And they are doing these protests in Homs, which is the religious center of Iran. So the impact of the symbolism here, Harry, is very significant. I mean, and in fact, not only is it significant, that's why the Iranian leadership, I would think, that's got to be the reason why they're reacting the way they are. They know that they are on the titular head of a possibly overthrow here.
Absolutely. So I think things have reached a tipping point in Iran. In part, this tipping point is grounded in prior deception, but it's also grounded in the notion that the Iranian people face a dire situation with respect to survival.
Yep.
So there is nothing really left to lose. Yep. So they are prepared to take on the military, despite the fact that bodies of demonstrators are piling up in the streets throughout Iran. People are still willing to come out and to fight the regime.
Than, let me ask you this. Are we hearing from congressional offices right now? Or are they starting to issue statements? I mean, I realize it just got back today.
Yeah, back channel they are. Not too many formal announcements, Jay, but I will tell you this. I think that people recognize that there's no accident that these protests are happening in the wake of what we learned last week in Project Cassandra. Listen, the Iranian people now understand exactly what their regime is up to. And look, our work with Freedom of Information Act, Jay, that's going to be critical in this, because if the Iranian people continue to have the truth about how their regime is acting, they will be better able to demonstrate and better able to make their voice heard.
We're giving you a full analysis on this, folks, because it is in detail, and we are going to have another 30 minutes dealing with this entire matter. Now, if you do not get the full third hour of the program, this is exactly the day you want to get it. Logan's going to give you all of the ways you can now follow the entire hour of the broadcast. Very important for you to do
this. Yeah, if you
don't
get it on your local station, many of you do, but it's also on SiriusXM. But if you're watching, you can also find us online broadcasting another half hour Jay Sekulow Live. That's on Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope and Twitter @JaySekulow. You can also find us on the ACLJ app that is in the App Store. If you have an iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or Roku channel for ACLJ, just search for it. You can find it there. You can also find us archived later on, also on the app, but also on the JaySekulow Live podcast, which you can subscribe to in iTunes or however you get your podcasts. And again, ACLJ.org is another place to watch it live, but you can interact, be a part of the show on Facebook and on Twitter. That is @JaySekulow or Facebook.com/JaySekulow.
Let me also take just the last few seconds here of the first 30 minutes of the broadcast to thank all of you. Your support for the ACLJ in 2017 made a huge difference. We had no idea that 2018 was going to start with this. As we closed the year out, remember what we were working on. Project Cassandra, Iran. 3 days later, the world could change. We'll be back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So the protests in Iran began in a town called Mashhad. It's Iran's second largest city. They started on Thursday, December 28th. On December 29th, the American Center for Law and Justice, in conjunction with our global offices, issued 7 or 8 Freedom of Information Act requests to our government as to why, and we were talking about it during last week, Project Cassandra, and that was a Drug Enforcement Administration action against the Hezbollah, which is funded by Iran, why that was stopped by the Obama administration. Our suspicion, which we now know is got to be correct, and that is the suspicion was that this was stopped because they President Obama was already working on the Iran nuclear deal. That deal was then executed eventually, and of course, we are now, put it on fast forward, you now have, on the 28th, you had a protest in Mashhad. By the 29th, you had protests spread to 40 other cities and towns. For our television, Facebook, Periscope audience, let's go ahead and put up that map. But for our radio audience, let me describe it. It's the entire country is basically engulfed in these protests. And what has happened, the protest focus, which I think, Logan, makes it unique from the others, is that this protest is on forget Palestine, get us out of not Gaza, not Lebanon, get us out of Hezbollah. Death to Khomeini, death to the dictator, death to Rouhani. I mean, they have focused. The Iranian people are smart. They realized that their government was taking their assets, their resources, and spending it to basically fund terror around. Their largest exporter of terrorism in the world is the Islamic Republic of Iran. We did a movie on that called The Export. We've written a book on it called Unholy Alliance. It's available in bookstores everywhere. But what you also have to know is they are all now chanting, no, death to the Islamic regime. They want that over with. So this is a protest movement on something we have not seen on a scale that we've not seen.
Absolutely.
In Iran.
Yeah, absolutely. You're seeing these footage in the streets. You may think of it's reminiscent of what happened maybe a few years ago. But this is different when you're talking about almost ending the traditions of what you've been raised in.
Yep.
Because in my lifetime, Iran has not been a place
right, where
you think that. But you go back only 10 years before I was born,
yep,
and it is a place that a lot of people that you may know came from and had to escape.
Iran was, you would go ahead. Yeah.
Right.
That's
what you think of, yeah.
Yeah, and unlike North Korea, where, they have no access to the outside world, Iran's not that way.
Right.
They're young people. They know what the rest of the world lives like. They have social media. They have international television, and so they can compare how their life is compared to the rest of the world.
So maybe to clarify, because some people are curious, like Parvin here on social media just said, if the regime change happens, though, in Iran, it's sort of the same argument. How will this impact us here in America?
Well, it depends on what the leadership looks like. I mean, that's the great question, Harry, from a policy standpoint. And that's something we need to be drilling down on at the ACLJ and our international offices, because it's not where you're going to have a strong military leader come in. Now, they have the Shah's sons in exile, but I don't know what they're – will they want a constitutional monarchy? Maybe that brings stability for a while. I don't know that yet, but that does raise a big issue.
Well, I think there's a deep reservoir within the Iranian people who support some form of democracy. On the other hand, there are many Iranians that support a theocracy. And so you will still have a clash of those two forces, I think, going forward. So the exact nature of the incoming regime is yet to be determined. But I also think it's important for the United States to take affirmative steps to help shape the new regime, to not allow the theocrats to push against an open door. That was the Obama administration approach. So when the former demonstrations occurred several years ago while President Obama was negotiating the Iran nuclear deal, President Obama basically told the demonstrators to keep quiet, notwithstanding the fact that bodies were piling up in the streets. He was sending a signal to them that they lacked U.S. support. President Trump is sending an affirmative signal that demonstrators who support democracy, they will be supported by the United States. That puts the United States' interests first.
I'll tell you something. We got a lot to talk about. When we come back from the break, we'll take more of your calls and comments. 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Protests in Iran throughout the country growing as we are on the air. Women taking off the traditional Islamic garb that they wear. This is unbelievable. And we are now finding protests chanting death to Hezbollah. This is one of the proxies for Iran. Let me play this for you. Okay, they're screaming, die, die, Hezbollah. I mean, this is, let me tell you, folks, we are on the cusp of a major, major change in the, this is the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, and their regime is on the threshold of possibly falling. So the moves that we make in the United States and our allies around the world are critical. We are going to get up a policy statement by tomorrow. That's what we're going to do. Maybe get it out later today, but probably tomorrow. That's going to list what we think needs to happen and how you stabilize the governments in the interim. And there are ways. This is where the UN can play a factor, too. I mean, this is, again, the people of Iran are raising up in unbelievable numbers. We've got a lot of calls. Let's go to some of the calls, get some of the comments.
All right. Miguel's calling online, too, in Texas. You're on the air.
Hi, Miguel. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, my question is, if Iranian citizens attempt to violently topple this regime,
yep,
how is that going to implicate our American government? And secondly, the fact that under Obama's regime, he committed $150 billion to the Iranian government.
Yep.
How is that also going to play a role in the way that our government is going to react towards...
All right, so you've got, Miguel, here's what you have. You've got a complete change of circumstance. There's a complete change of fact. There's a complete change of on-the-ground realities. There's a complete change in the populace of Iran in the way in which they're reacting. So we in the United States, as fostering freedom and democracy, need to, Andy, put forward policies and process that allow the Iranian people to thrive. And I'm sure they are working on that right now, but that's very important.
Well, one of the most important things is to have the open and widespread support of the President of the United States, and President Trump is doing that. He is unlike his predecessor, his feckless predecessor, who said to the Iranian people, stand down, don't mess anything up, I need to get this deal through. President Trump has taken the initiative and is supporting this revolution, supporting the rights of the people of Iran organically, the working classes, and that is one of the most important things. Boris Johnson, the Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom, is joining us in that. All our allies in the West should join us in that. We need to topple regimes like this, and they're being toppled from within.
We have for our television audience, for our Facebook and Periscope audience, a picture right now of a woman in Iran who has taken off her hijab and is waving it on a stick. And there you have it. And this is, listen, the Iranians have, their parents tasted freedom. They also lost freedom, but their parents knew freedom. A generation back knew freedom. Now, I will say also, it's important to point out, Wes, that it is not the entire previous Obama administration that is saying this is a bad thing that's happening right now. You were pointing out about the former ambassador to Israel.
Right. His name is Ambassador Shapiro, and he made a statement this morning that people who supported the Iran nuclear deal and those who opposed it need to come together over this issue, support the demonstrators. And then he says, and I quote, "The Trump administration's early statements have set the right tone." This is coming from an Obama ambassador to the region.
What do you think about that, Harry?
Well, I think Wes is absolutely correct. But it's also important to note that the Obama administration at one point in time was prepared to build up the so-called moderate elements within Hezbollah.
Right.
Now we know that the Iranian people are prepared to take a much tougher stance with respect to Hezbollah. And I think that exposes the spinelessness of the Obama administration. So it's very, very important for President Trump to continue to support the Iranian people.
All right, let's go ahead and take a call or a comment. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, and our social media team is taking comments via Facebook and Periscope as well.
That's right. We'll take some of those comments coming up. Lynn asked this interesting question because it's not really a known entity exactly. Lynn asked, who is behind the protests? Is there anyone?
So what's interesting about this is not one person or one group. There's not a organic leadership. It is, in a sense, an organic protest, multifaceted across multiple disciplinary.
Revolution, more than it is, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. It's an internal revolution taking place inside the country where it's anti-clerical. It is anti the support of Hezbollah and anti the support in Gaza. It is anti the existing political regimes, including Rouhani, who's supposed to be deemed a moderate. But listen to what President Trump said in his speech to the UN back in September. This is, I mean, you talk about policies having impact. Mainstream media is not going to want to cover any of this. Here's what the President of the United States said to the UN.
It has turned a wealthy country with a rich history and culture into an economically depleted rogue state whose chief exports are violence, bloodshed, and chaos. The longest suffering victims of Iran's leaders are, in fact, its own people.
Yep. And that tells you the entire story. So when you're saying, where is it coming from? What's the diversity? It's also, it's university students and professor. It's folks working on the docks. It's people trying to scrape out a living. It's business leaders. This is a very diverse move, which I think bodes well for the nature of this, Wes.
It does. And it started out really with what we would call blue-collar workers and farmers. They're the ones who begin to protest. And then those more middle class and the elites who were a part of the green movement are now joining in with that. So it's really growing exponentially. But it started out with just common people who have really suffered under this regime. They're tired of the religious dictatorship. They're tired of the financial hardships. They're tired of not having freedom of speech and all of the other freedoms that they used to have. And it is a revolution that is very interesting. And even though there's no single leader, and that could hurt it going forward, but at the same time, this is a revolution that in many ways is more widespread and deeper than the one in 2009.
I'll tell you this. I'm just checking messages right now. I think Andy, I'm going to go to Fan on this quickly too, but Andy, and we'll get to calls. I know we've got callers here, but I think what we're seeing is the scope and nature of this is so much broader than the media can even tell right now because they're trying to block the media coming out of Iran, but that the scope and nature of this are much more significant than people
really
realize.
Right, Jay. We don't know what's going on in Iran because the government is trying to block it, but from the little snippets that I have seen and the things that I have heard, a woman taking off her Islamic headdress, they're asking for the freedom that we have, and our president is supporting them, and that's very important. But it's a revolution that's starting from the grassroots. That's always bad for the regime.
Than there's going to be a call for our foreign policy, you know, Senate Foreign Affairs. I mean, it's early. Let's track those down, though, in the next couple hours here.
Yeah, we're tracking them down. But, Jay, the most important signal has already been sent by the commander-in-chief. And yep. I got chills while you were playing that soundbite because, listen, you listen to the chants that you've been playing throughout the broadcast, and they're echoing what were in those soundbites. I mean, the people who are starving and lacking basic freedoms are awakening to the idea that their money in a rich country is being used to export terrorism. And their exact chants, Jay, their exact chants are take care of our needs and quit spending on terrorism. The president send the right signal. The House and the Senate better back him up on this.
All right, let's go and take a phone call here, Logan, if we can.
All right, let's
call one.
Let's go to Bob. You're on the air in Maryland.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah. Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't something like this happen a few years ago, but it didn't work out right because they weren't given any support?
So that's right. In 2009, you had what's called the Green Revolution, and it was mass numbers. It was all focused in Tehran. This is focused around the entire country, so it's a little bit different there, and it's cutting across. That was mostly college students. This is cutting across all kinds of socioeconomic levels and everything from academics to the work, what they call the working class there. But the Obama administration basically asked them to stand down. And we now know that they were negotiating at the exact same time, with Ahmadinejad on the so-called Iran nuclear deals. That's why they don't want the million people in the streets of Iran, Tehran. But that has changed. And the scope and nature of this is much more significant than anybody anticipated. And I will tell you something else. If this is handled correctly, and I believe the administration is so far handling this correctly, and if other world leaders and people within the region will get involved in this, I think what you're going to look at as the Iranian people, the Persian people, understand freedom. It was just a generation ago, Andy, that they knew freedom. They tasted freedom from the West.
I'm glad you called them the Persian people because that's really important. This Iran thing is something of recent vintage. It's in the last 40 years that they have taken on these Islamic fundamentalist tendencies and proclivities. But if you look at it, these are the people of what was once a great empire, an empire that rivaled the Roman Empire in the West. These are not people who are not cultured and not civilized. The civilization of Persia is great and historic and very significant. And finally, the people are saying the leader lives like God while the people live like beggars.
The information coming out right now is pretty incredible, and the statements that are coming out from the students are incredible as well. I'm going to read them. We come back from the break, and I'll discuss it with some of our friends during Facebook and Periscope during our break here. But there are some interesting and unbelievable folks. We're witnessing world history right now. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. You also get your comments in via Facebook and Periscope.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back, everybody. So we have got a situation unfolding in Iran that is breathtaking in scope. Let's put that map app up for our Facebook, Periscope, TV audience. But for our radio audience, let me explain it to you. Before, in 2009, during the Green Revolution, it was just Tehran that was impacted. And you're now looking at this map. It is the entire country is engulfed in these protests. And these protests are aimed at the clerics. They're aimed at the Islamic regimes. They're aimed at the terrorists. They're aimed at Hezbollah. They're aimed at Hamas. They're aimed at the Palestinians. They're aimed at Gaza. You got a 29% unemployment there. The country is being depleted of its assets to support terrorism and to export the Iranian revolution. And the people of Iran have had it. And the president of the United States, President Trump, is standing with the people, unlike the previous administration, which tried to shut down those protests. This is a major sea change differential that's happening right now. Now, Than Bennett just found out. We just got a comment coming in from Speaker Ryan. I'm looking for Democratic content statements as well. This needs to be a bipartisan move. And we're going to lay out a plan tomorrow on how to do the transition here if this in fact happens. Dan?
Well, Jay, in addition to Speaker Ryan, we are hearing from Brad Sherman from California, a Democrat, Joaquin Castro and Brendan Doyle. Don't have their exact quotes with you, but they have expressed support for the protesters. Here's what Speaker Ryan said. He said, it's important that we support the nonviolent protesters in Iran. This is the result of a regime more focused on propping up terrorist organizations than addressing the plight of its citizens. Jay, one thing I would say, though, the way that you sustain the comments of elected officials is by continuing to fuel them with information of what's happening. That's why we're participating in the FOIAs. If we don't get that information out, Jay, this support you're seeing, it will go away.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm going to be more bold. Here's what I think we should support. A toppling of the regime. For instance, Hillary Clinton just sent out, the Iranian people, especially the young, are protesting for freedom and future they deserve. And then she says, I hope their government responds peacefully and supports their hopes. Hey, I hope the government falls. Okay? I hope the regime falls now and that the Iranian people, the Persian people, can regain their sense of dignity, self-worth, and be a functioning member of the nations of the world. I hope the regime falls. I don't like all this. Well, I hope the regime is better. They better take their consideration. The regime needs to be toppled, and it's the Iranian people that are doing it. All right, Logan.
Let's take some calls. Let's go in order of people who called in. Let's go to Doug in Lincoln, Illinois on line 5. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Doug, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. Good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. Look forward to reading the book.
Thank you.
I just want to say, how much of an impact would Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, what kind of impact does it have?
Oh, I know. I think it emboldened the people. I think it emboldened the protesters that are out on the streets in Iran. Look what they're saying. No to Gaza. No to the Palestinians. No to Hezbollah. No to Hamas. No to the clerics. So I think they're saying we've got a president in the United States that's willing to stand up for Israel would be an ally of Iran if it wasn't an Islamic republic. So I think, Harry, that they clearly had an impact.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that happened after President Trump recognized Jerusalem is that it exposed the Iranian leadership support for Hamas and Hezbollah as opposed to the interest of the Iranian people. They were putting the interest of terrorists ahead of their own people. And in light of 29% unemployment, this makes no sense to common, everyday, working-class people in Iran.
I think that's absolutely correct. Logan, let's go ahead and grab some more calls. We'll do as best we can.
Yeah, sorry about that. Renee is calling line 3 here on the air.
Hey, Renee, go ahead.
Hi, Renee. Hi, Jay. I feel like we're friends already.
Yeah.
In 2003, there was a book put out called Reading Lolita in Tehran. I don't know if you remember that. It was written by a lady who was a professor who was kicked out of the university when Ayatollah came back.
Right.
Those students then, if they were about 20 years old 14 years ago, that whole group of people are in their 30s now.
That's exactly right.
It's not just It's not just college.
No, you're exactly no, no, no. This is much broad based. This is not just college students. This is those that were college students even 6 years ago have now been trying to work and not been successful at working. So they've not been able to get jobs. The money that came from the United States went right out to the terrorists. And that's why the reaction is so strong. Very, very important statement. We're going to try to get to as many calls as we can.
All right, Dan, you're on the air, line four.
Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Jay, congratulations on achieving the goal, the $1.3 million.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, listen, hey, a huge thank you to all of our ACLJ friends that are listening to this broadcast now or watching us. We couldn't have done it without you, and what an impact you had. We exceeded our goal, actually. So thank you for that, but go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, Iran has been identified as working in partnership with North Korea on the North Korean nuclear program. Given that this is probably going to happen, what impact do you see that having on North Korea and things in general?
Yeah, so Wes, the relation between Iran and North Korea has been cooperative. Mm-hmm. This would change that dramatically.
Absolutely. Iran, part of the money in Iran has gone to North Korea. They swapped technologies. And this has a direct impact on that. It's the government of Iran that supports North Korea, not the people of Iran.
All right, let's get another call. Then I got a question. I want Andy to restate something he said earlier. I think it's very important.
Nancy, you're on the air.
Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Thank you for everything you do. I just want to ask if there's any leader or organization that would rise to the top as leadership, and also
inside Iran,
what role would Russia play in this?
Well, Russia would try to prop up the regime. I mean, there's no question about that. Russia, Andy, would try to prop up this regime, the Ayatollahs.
Anything that they can do to oppose the American interests, you know, secretly, overtly, covertly, however they're going to do it, they're going to try to support the regime. But, you know, you mentioned something from the irrelevant Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Can you believe that she would make a statement like that?
No, that's because
I want this government to respond to what its people are wanting to. What a ridiculous statement to make.
But, Andy, say it again. It's important for people to hear this. When these regimes fall, it happens almost instantaneously.
Instantaneously, Jay. I looked at this. When I happened to be in Strasbourg in France in 1989 watching the crumbling of Romania and Ceausescu. One day he was there. The next day he was executed lying dead with his wife in the courtyard of a building after a summary trial that had occurred. And they had a new government and a new Syria and a whole democratic system had been in place in Romania. And it happens instantly.
Yeah, it does. So you're looking at change that can happen in an instant. And we're not going to be able to get to the other two calls right now because we're hitting topics here. But let's send them the book. So let's get them the material. Harry, quickly here, on the government plan of transition like this, there is a constitution they have, but their constitution was the Islamic constitution. So we need to take a look at their previous constitution.
Absolutely.
And how they were set up.
Yes, and encourage them to adopt democratic principles. This will help with respect to the transition. Hopefully, this will lead to weakening the influence of Russia in the region.
Yep.
And it may lead ultimately to the demise of Bashar Assad in Syria. That would be a helpful development as well.
All right. So we're going to run, and we'll figure out when we're going to do it, our movie, Unholy Alliance, on our Facebook
the
and Periscope.
Export.
Yeah, Export. Well, yep. Yeah, sorry. The book is Unholy Alliance. But yeah, we're gonna figure out how to do that, Logan.
Sure, yeah, we'll get that. Just stay in touch with us on all social medias. You can find us on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook. Just search for Jay Sekulow, ACLJ. Make sure you follow us, download the app, and everything like that.
And, Than, you're going to monitor closely the kind of responses we're seeing out of Washington.
Absolutely, because there needs to be a democratic process. And the number one hallmark of a new regime, Jay, has to be that the exporting of terrorism ends. That's what we need to start seeing in these statements.
All right, folks, a lot to pray for. Pray for those protesters on the streets throughout Iran. We're going to have more developments on this tomorrow. You'll want to stay tuned. Again, your support of the ACLJ made a huge difference. ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.